the task force is doing the right thing. It's focusing on what's necessary. It's two things. One is to lower the cost of the plan going forward. The old saying is, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging.
Right.
And so they've done a good job, as has the mayor, in identifying ways to reduce the flow of costs going forward. But the big issue is paying back down this debt. They've floated ideas of different funding mechanisms, but in the end, it's going to require new money, and I applaud them for facing up to that.
What did you think of the mayor's proposal that JEA tackle some $40 million of this debt?
Well, it's first, I commend the mayor for having a proposal, for being flexible enough to look beyond his original proposal that was in the mediated settlement proposal some months ago. So I applaud them for that. We haven't studied the JEA proposal specifically, and I haven't looked at it, but I'm highly skeptical that's going to be a solution for a few reasons. First, utility is a tough business, so having a healthy utility is important to the city. They've got all kinds of issues. They have their own pension problem. They've got declining revenues and increasing costs and a tough regulatory environment. Second, it's a place a lot of debt, and probably too much debt to sustain that business. If it does have $40 million laying around, it would be, if I were on that board, and I'm not, I would put it toward lowering debt and lowering rates. The rates are already high, and that's a competitive problem for the city.
And of course, JEA doesn't want to pass an increase on to consumers. The mayor doesn't want to pass that on to taxpayers either. He's said, I don't want to raise taxes. That's certainly a popular position. At the same time, this task force could come forth and say, there's no choice. We have to raise taxes. What do you think is going to happen?
I wouldn't be surprised if that was a conclusion, and I would applaud the courage of that. You know, there just isn't any free money, Melissa, and the $40 million or the $50 million or the $60 million, wherever it comes from, it is a tax. It's a tax if it comes from JEA. If they didn't have to spend it on that, they could give it back to the ratepayers. So I think it's a bit of an illusion to think that there's free money around there that can be applied to this problem painlessly. It's going to come from someplace. It's going to come from all of us. And view the Civic Council, if that happens, it needs to come from those that are most able to pay it and be a progressive tax or progressive application of revenues that affects the high-income people more than it does low-income people.
Now, has the Civic Council and has the task force studied the trajectory other cities have taken on this? Of course, some cities have gone into flat-out bankruptcy over this issue. Obviously, there's a strong will that Jacksonville avoid that fate.
Yes, we have studied, to answer your first question, we have studied the trajectory of other cities, and it's not pretty. These problems it's not a static problem. It gets worse, and it gets worse at a higher rate of speed. It's kind of like paying the minimum balance on your credit card. It gets on top of you in a hurry. I don't think there is a material risk of Jacksonville becoming bankrupt. It's a better city, and it's a stronger city than that. But left unattended, if we don't fix this problem, we consign our children to a poorer future with poorer prospects. It's time to solve this now.
How do you see this playing out? Because $1.7 billion is just hard for people to even get their head around. It's unbelievable how big this is. What are some of the worst-case scenarios if it doesn't get resolved?
Well, you can scare yourself talking about worst-case scenarios, but I would rephrase that to maybe the sort of a realistic worst case, if there's such a term, is that we kick the can down the road, we don't solve this, and the pension obligations, which are legal obligations, they have to come first, will absorb so much of the city's budget that there is nothing left over for sanitation, for improvement, let alone things like downtown improvement and culture.
Not enough even for basic needs, let alone extras.
I think I travel a lot, and my wife once observed that I was always irritated when I came home from a trip, and I thought about that. And the reason why is that most other cities are doing a better job with basic services, and it was visible to me when I saw other cities. I don't want to be the case. Clean streets, venues for entertainment, basic things, parks at work, people out at night, just the kinds of things that make a place fun to live, work, and play.
What are your thoughts about the city's pension problems? Let's go to Bill in Mandarin. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Well, first of all, this issue of bankruptcy, forget that. No judge will let you go to bankruptcy until you've maxed out on raising taxes and all other kinds of things. That was made evident in the Detroit issue. The second point is, if they want to solve the backlog of $1.7 billion, one calculation shows they need to raise taxes this year 13% just to retire that debt over a 15-year period. That's if the pension plan will take that money as a solution for $1.7 billion.
Thanks, Bill. And in addition to a potential tax increase, what they're also looking at, Steve, aren't they, is asking police and fire and public employees to kick in more of their paycheck towards their retirement.
That's right. And of course, that is its own controversy. On those points, I think both the mayor's plan and some of the recommendations I've seen from the task force, I think are appropriate. We owe the police and fire a good pension, and they have a good pension. The question is, how much should they pay for it? Going backwards, we shouldn't change anything because we can't and it's wrong. Going forward, a better cost sharing, I think, is appropriate. And those are the ideas that are on the table.
And earlier, the Civic Council had floated the idea of a bond issue. What happened with that?
Actually, what we got characterized that way in the media, what we really recommended was we find $1 billion of assets. We used a bond to show a way how it would look from a cost standpoint. That was probably a better idea 9 months ago or whenever we first came up with that. Interest rates have moved negatively. That's what happens in markets. Markets are volatile on that. And I don't know if there'd be enough interest rate differential to make that a financing source, which gets you back to the possibility, I would say the probability, of a tax increase.
We'll continue to follow it, but we certainly do appreciate your insights. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.